The players who will not, these three guys here will not practice this afternoon. So you have Jason Babin, Riley Cooper, and Casey Matthews. Casey, we went back and MRI'd him and, a while back here, and he has a high ankle sprain, not a real severe one, but he does have a high ankle sprain. So he's working through that, but he won't practice it. Brandon Washington will practice today. He's been cleared from the concussion, and then Namdi will practice today. And again, it's good to be back at the NovaCare complex. It's important that we all understand that we're still in training camp. We're still going to work hard, and at the same time, we've got the Monday night game against New England that we're going to prepare for. Today's practice will be very similar to a Wednesday, an in-season Wednesday practice, as if we were playing on Sunday. So. And then tomorrow will be like a Thursday and so on. The ones will get the majority of the work in this game. So they'll at least play a half and possibly into the third quarter. So this will be the game that they play the most in this preseason. And then after this game, we really just have one day of practice before we move on to play in Cleveland. So that's the reason behind that. So when you go out to practice today, you'll see the ones getting the majority of the reps during the offensive team period. The one offense would get the majority of reps, and likewise with the defensive period, the one defense will get most of the reps. Time's yours.
Do you anticipate a higher level of game planning at all for New England, or is it still just going to be basically worried about your stuff?
Yeah, well, you'll do a little bit more. You will do a little bit more. Not quite like what you do for a regular season game. You're still trying to get a few things knocked out that we need to prepare for, but it'll be more than what you had last week. Yeah.
Andy, I guess if you were assuming Mike Kaplan won't play Monday night because of his hand, who's going to come in after Mike?
Foles will, yeah. Foles will be two, and Trent will be the third one.
What have you seen from Nick? Just talk about his progression.
Well, listen, I think what you look at with any rookie, are they getting better every day? And he seems to be doing that, more comfortable. We've got a load of plays in for him, and he's able to recite those properly. Now it's just making sure he's got everybody down, and that comes with reps. But I would tell you, we knew he was smart coming in. He hasn't disappointed us in that area. So he's a very sharp kid, very diligent, works hard, all those things.
With there being no live hitting going on this whole year during practice, what would the players have to do in practice to stand out to catch your attention?
Well, listen, some of it is just the reps. They're going to go fast enough. They're going to have the pads on. So today they will. So they'll be going fast enough and see what they can do. So that's the important thing. Every day is another evaluation. Every play is an evaluation for them. So whether you run the scout team, you know, or what you perceive to be the scout team, or you're with the ones.
On the quarterbacks, this has been a tough situation for Trent Edwards, I would guess. Until Kafka broke his hand, he wasn't getting regular reps. How do you think he's handled it, and how do you see him going forward?
No, Leslie, he's got a great attitude throughout this whole thing, even when he wasn't getting very many reps. I really think what it's done is it's allowed him to kind of get his arm back and slowly, as opposed to jumping in and wearing that thing out. Every day it looks like his arm's got a little bit stronger and a little bit stronger. He's got a little bit more workload and added a little bit more the next day and so on. And to where right now he looks like he's back to where he can function at a very high level throwing the football. So I think that's a plus for him when you come off a major injury on your throwing arm. That's important.
How have your rookie running backs been progressing as far as blocking and blitz pickup?
They're getting better, but that's a place that they need work. I mean, if you just took one area, I remember talking about Brian Westbrook this way. I remember talking about LaShawn this way, and I would tell you the same thing with these kids here, that they need work in that area. You know? So they need to keep going. Poke's probably a little bit ahead in the pass protection area, but you know, just because he was asked to do more of that in this type of an offense in college. But they're both very capable guys, but that's where they need work.
How about Deion? How's his? He obviously has the most knowledge of it.
You know what? Deion's getting better. You can tell he's been here a year. He's worked on it. He has better understanding right now than he did last year coming in. He's more willing to stick it up in there. He has a technique. When I say willing, he was always tough enough to do that. That wasn't the question. But there's a technique that goes with that, and a confidence that goes with that. He's worked on his technique very, very hard over the last year, and so you know, it's shown up in the games.
And then practice. I mean, it's really him and then two guys who are rookies. So there's not a lot of experience behind the show.
I'm okay. I think you have quality there. So, you know, I think we're okay there. As long as they continue to progress. And like I said, Bryce is probably the furthest one away from the pass protection, but he's working very hard. And he's a big physical kid. So this gets neglected just a little bit, but between the reps that he gets on special teams and on, you know, in the offense, on special teams, if you're on the punt team, it's really that same type of a technique. So, the more reps he gets there, that helps him also on the offensive side. So he's getting kind of double dipped there with a bunch of reps a day.
Andy, how with the DeMar Chaney coming back off the injury, he had been working with the first team sub actions before the injury. Who do you see working with D'Amico Ryans now that Chaney's fully healthy?
Well, we're just trying to get him in there and get him through a practice where he's comfortable. I mean, we know he's a real tough kid. He's you know, he had a little bit of a strain down there, so he's trying to work through that. And that's my primary concern right now, getting him where he feels comfortable and he can go as fast as he can go through a whole practice. And until then, there won't be any moves made. We'll just leave it where everything's at right now.
How close is Jason Babin to being able to practice again, and does he need some playing time in the preseason?
Yeah, you know, there's a chance he's ready for that last game, and we'll just see. He's a seasoned veteran, but the one thing you don't want to do, and you see this a lot, is you see guys rush back from the calf injuries, and some again they strain it again, and so you don't want to put them in that position where that happens.
What do you need to see from, I guess, your secondary, mostly your safeties, against New England's first team?
Well, you're looking for that continuity back there and communication and playing together and against a good football team. So, and I tell you that from really all the positions, but you know, playing as a unit and the good communication.
Half this case, will he play in the preseason at all, Mike Kafka?
You know, there's a chance he's ready for the last preseason game. There's a chance there. They re-x-rayed his hand. It looks like it's healing well, and it hasn't displaced at all. And that was one of the concerns here early. So, you know, there's that chance. It's a little bit of a stretch, but we'll see. We'll see how they're going to continue to look at it. The doctors will, and we'll go from there.
Andy, going back to the secondary, Dominic came into camp under spotlight, taking over starting position for Asante. Seemed to do really well in the training camp. Can you talk about how he's progressed throughout the camp and how much more comfortable he looks?
Well, again, every day he looks like he's more comfortable with it. So I would tell you he's done a pretty good job this camp. I mean, he's a very respectable job. And I've been pleased with that. And every day is a good day for DRC. I mean, he's out dancing and playing and doing all that. He's a unique personality, but he loves to play, and that's important. And he makes a lot of plays. You've seen that at camp here.
And with the diminishing role of the fullback, is there Stanley Avili maybe somebody that might be overlooked as someone to make this team just as a running back and not a fullback?
Well, is he a viable ball carrier? Yes. Viable receiver, yes. Can you move him around? Is he smart enough to handle that? Yes. I mean, he can do all that stuff. So, and we saw this the last preseason game last year where he got kind of a feel on special teams. That player has to play on special teams and be a factor there. So he looked like he had a pretty good feel as he caught on last year during the preseason, that last, like I said, the last game there. So, but you know, he's just got to keep coming, keep keep coming. But he's making progress and doing a nice job of it.
Do you consider fullback a must-have position?
Well, you need a fullback, yeah. In our offense, yeah, you need a fullback.
Assuming that McCaffrey can't play in the preseason, have you seen enough out of him to be comfortable with him as the number two?
Well, listen, if he... the next question would be if he can play, will we allow him to play? I've got to see how that goes. I have a pretty good feel on what he can do in this offense.
What kind of strides has King Dunlap made in the last couple of years in terms of just sheer technique? I mean, obviously for a guy that big, it's always going to be a battle to stay low and center of gravity. What have you seen?
Well, he is a big man now. I mean, he's as big as anybody in this league. So. But the one thing you do notice is he can bend and move, and he has the hip flexibility to be able to do that and the athletic ability to be able to do that. He was a good basketball player, and he's turned into a good football player here. So he's had a couple of pretty good tutors. So let me add one thing, and he's a smart kid. Yeah.
Right. And how
poor
the big man that's
standing over there to your left? Good. I thought, I was hoping we were going to get to that. He was very important. He's still very important, but he was very important the way we started things off here and the success that we had here before he's decided now to retire. So, and not only that, he's a great person. I saw him grow from a little college kid that was 6'8" to this mature father and husband, and very proud of him for that.
What sort of strides did Trey make in your first couple of years here? Where did he need to improve on and off the field, and did
he? I remember the second day of OTAs our off-season program when I came in. He asked me that same question. He had already been here a year. And he goes, what do I need to improve on? I said, well, not much. You're pretty good. Just keep a level head. And there were a couple little fundamental things, but there wasn't a whole lot. He's a great pass blocker, loved to play the game. All the important things, he had that. So he was tough, good in the run game. So he had the whole package.
Did he know how good he was or could be? Did he have to sort of discover that? A lot of guys come in thinking they're great. A lot of guys come in not knowing.
I think he found that out probably his first year when he was able to play. And I'm sure at some point he went, you know what? I can handle this. But with players, a lot of players will take that and become complacent, especially when they get play time in their rookie year. Other guys try to work on their game and get better, and so that's what he did. And Juan was his coach, and Juan was very demanding. And Juan didn't have to go drag him out of the room there to get him out on the field. He was always out early, always worked his game, did that, and that was important. That was the important stuff.
Trey ended a long line of mediocre to poor offensive line draft picks. It's kind of a legacy here in Philadelphia. I don't know if you're aware of it when you were in Green Bay or knew about it when you got here. What role do you think he played in sort of turning what used to be kind of a laughing stock organization for offensive lines into one of the better offensive lines probably for about a decade?
Well, I think you said it right there. There were some picks that didn't quite work out. I was very aware of those. I mean, I had a chance to play against some of those guys and when I was at Green Bay there. And so I understand. I mean, I understood that coming here. And for his position, that's a very important position in this league. It's your quarterback's blind side, particularly if it's a right-handed quarterback, and then you normally have that best defensive end on your side or outside linebacker on your side, and you're going to ask him to solo that guy up every week. So, and you want a certain – not only do you as a coach want that confidence, but most of all, that guy playing the quarterback position has to have that confidence. He's the one playing the game. So Trey was able to just solidify that. And then that led into – John coming here, John knowing that Trey was here, and both those two, I always tell them they're a little different stratosphere than the rest of us here. They're sniffing different air up there. It's a different world where they play and live. They're big men. And, both those two just, they played off of each other and challenged each other, and it was great. And then we're great friends on top of that.